Hi, folks. This is CBD of the Cut Jib Newsletter Worldwide Podcasting System. I'm here today, as usual, with my friend and co-host and partner at Cut Jib Newsletter, JJ Sefton. I'm about 6 hours ahead of him. I am, as some of you may know, in Paris for the time being, which is both amusing and maddening. We can talk about that a little bit later. But today, I think that we can talk about something that nobody is talking about, and that is S Sefton, take it away.
Yes, the obviously the giant propagandist in the room, this Jeffrey Goldberg character, and somehow winding up on a quote unquote top secret group chat with our national security team, supposedly while a strike was going on with the Houthis in Yemen, and then of course him publishing all about it. But meanwhile, he's the good guy. But for some reason, it's Team Trump and the national security guys letting him on the call that are to blame for spilling our secrets to our enemies, which is funny considering the left is doing everything it can to prevent the deportation of criminal rapists, criminals and rapists, murderers, and Muslim thugs from who are supporting Hamas and supporting attacks on Americans and Jews and everyone else in the world. But somehow it's it's the national security guys are letting our enemies in on the secrets. This is a joke.
Yeah, you know what's interesting to me is that they, on the one hand, they're screaming that Goldberg did nothing wrong, and who the hell knows? Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. I don't think that he sneaked into this call. Obviously, there was some failure, but also that there are national security repercussions, and that all of this stuff is classified. Well, here's a man who possesses classified information. Arrest him. I
Arrest
don't
him and put him
understand.
on, yes,
Yeah,
and put him on
put him
trial
on
and throw
trial
the
for
and throw the
possession
book at him.
of yeah, that's what they're going to do to Donald Trump, possession of classified material. Well, he possesses classified material. Arrest him, charge him with espionage or whatever the appropriate charge is, and after an appropriate trial, hang him. I see nothing wrong with that.
Ditto. Me, neither do I. Absolutely. It's he's amazing.
Yeah,
But of course
quite
it won't be
seriously.
them.
Was this an unforced error? Yes, it obviously was. Is it a big deal in the grand scheme of things? No, I don't think so. I saw the information that that Goldberg had, and was it classified? I don't know. I mean, it had it didn't have any information about targets. It did have timing, which I guess is a big deal. I don't know. I know that the Houthis obviously expected it. And they probably were warned by Iran or Russia or China that something was coming. The question is, could they do anything about it? The answer obviously is no. They're a third world shithole with second world weapons. Now that's not an apology for the failure, but I don't really care. Yeah, they screwed
Right.
up, and I don't think that they're going to screw up again. And I think that these men are all genuine patriots. I think, I mean, the absent some information coming in the future that says that this is all a setup to screw Donald Trump, which I don't think happened. But anyway, these men are all patriots. There was no intent involved. So I think that if Donald Trump and the gentleman on the call are, if they're strong and just say, well, fuck you, we don't care what you think, after a week or so, this is going to blow over, which it should.
I mean, if I wanted to put a happy face on it or a smiley face, I could say, and is that as we all know, the CIA is very much a huge part of the deep state, and there are so many agents, I hate to say it, and people and personnel there that are trying to preserve, protect, and defend the deep state, meaning their number one enemy is Donald Trump, and some underling could have been in on this. Or if I want to put another smiley face on it, we could say maybe it was a setup to
Yeah.
both, number one, draw out the Houthis into sort of reacting to it to see where their positions were, and then use that to find them and bomb them. for our assets on the ground and elsewhere, reconnaissance satellites and whatnot, listening posts, and also to root out the traitors within the CIA and the intel community to find out who's tipping them off, and also to go after Jeffrey Goldberg. So, but that's a happy face. So we'll
Yeah,
see.
that's a happy face. Listen, my first thought was, oh my God, this is a big screw up, and somebody should hang for it. And now, as the days go on, I care less and less. And I think that I agree with Kurt Schlichter, who, by the way, folks, you should read because he's great. And he says, I don't give a shit. Fuck you. You're the enemy. You're the enemy. I don't care what you say. I'm going to defend the people in the administration right now, and so screw you. I think that's the appropriate attitude, and I hope that Donald Trump takes that attitude.
Amen, and
So,
I believe he will, and he should do that for sure. So, and
so let's
you know.
so let's I you know folks beforehand b before the podcast, we decided not to talk too much about this, and we've already talked too much about this. I know
Okay.
everybody on Earth is talking about it. So let's move on to something sort of exciting. And that is that that stupid man that these ignorant MAGAs elected in November of 2024, and his crazy economy killing tariffs. I guess he stumbled on a good thing or something, because they seem to be working. India just announced some changes in their economic policies to the tune of $23 billion. I think mostly to in decreasing tariffs on American goods in response, in direct response to Donald Trump's policies. So, folks, it's charming to be an elite and pretend that all tariffs are bad, or at least all tariffs placed by Republicans or by Donald Trump are bad. But the reality is what we are seeing today, and that is that in some circumstances, probably not all, but in some circumstances, tariffs are a good economic policy, not just a geopolitical policy, but a good economic policy.
Indeed. And there was an article today or yesterday that I covered where I think Trump also is now imposing major tariffs on foreign manufactured automobiles. And yesterday, I think it was Hyundai announced it is opening a new manufacturing plant and steel mill, I believe in Alabama and maybe one other state, if not both in Alabama. That's going to lead to number one, steel production coming back to the U.S. in a big way. Automobile manufacturing coming back to the US in a big way, and the creation of many, many, many more new jobs. So, hello. Yes, the orange man bad. He sure doesn't know what the hell he's doing. He is stumbling his way into being, causing another roaring 20s, the 2020s. Thank God, please God. And it's working. Canada has already caved on tariffs. We have oil, as we talked about it in the last podcast. We're going to have more oil pipelines and access. The Dakota pipeline is coming back online, and so on and so forth. So more, please, and faster, please.
Yeah, I agree completely with you, and I made the distinction between economically viable tariffs and geopolitically viable or valuable tariffs. And I think that's an important distinction to make, because I think Donald Trump is doing both. I think that economically they do make sense sometimes, but in the geopolitical arena, it is vital that the United States has a robust manufacturing capacity, that we can build cars, because let's face it, folks, the same people who build cars today are going to be building tanks tomorrow, and airplanes. And we need, as you pointed out, a robust steel making industry, and by the way, a robust agricultural industry. That is important. There are countries across the entire world that put significant tariffs on imported food simply to bolster their domestic food production, because they realize that it is a geopolitical necessity to be able to feed one's people. And Donald Trump is doing that, and he is doing something that has not been done in a very, very long time, and that is putting Americans and America first. And it is very difficult to find a flaw in his policies from that perspective.
Absolutely. And he's also putting the brakes on, from what I understand, and I hope it's this is going full steam ahead, putting the brakes on the Chinese buying up vast tracts of our farmland, and some of them n near our military bases. That is insanity, personified. That has to stop right then and there.
Well, didn't some, it was a Midwestern state that sued China and in court and won and is going to take its winnings in the form of Chinese agricultural land in the United States, which I think
Good.
is fucking fantastic. I apologize for cursing, folks. We should be better than that. Fuck that. Anytime
Yeah.
the communist Chinese get fucked, I'm happy. So.
Absolutely. There was an article I had in the last day or so from one of the China observers who are saying that things are not so rosy over there in Beijing land for the Chinese economy and their military and other things. And so Xi and his party are in some trouble,
Good.
as is Mr. Erdogan in Turkey, seemingly,
Yeah,
and
I
also,
wonder about that. Well, let's stick to China though.
Yes.
I hope that that's the case. So boy, I don't know. Economically they are and have been in dire straits for quite some time, and their demographic time bomb has already exploded. So they are
Yep.
screwed no matter what. There's nothing they can do about that. Their brilliant, murderous one-child policy is coming back to bite them in the ass. And that makes me smile. Because let's face it, folks, these are the children and grandchildren of Mao. This is Mao Zedong light, and that is evil that I think most Americans simply do not understand. What Mao did to China in the 60s and 70s was horrendous.
How many million did he murder?
Oh, God,
16 or 60? I forget.
50 or 60 million Chinese are dead because of Mao Zedong. He was a vile, evil man, and his policies have survived. So again, there's no way to polish this one up. It's evil communism no matter what. So anyway, you mentioned Turkey, and I think it's very interesting. I don't know much about what's going on, but Erdogan had his most significant challenger arrested for a variety of what I have to assume are conjured up charges. But
You have to wonder if he's taking advice from from Joe Biden and company over what they tried doing to Trump over the last however many years, or they're taking a look at it and say, "Hey, okay, let's trump up some charges and chuck the guy in jail." But hey, supposedly we're more subtle than that here because of our wonderful constitution. But the Democrats say later for that. So there you have it. But yeah,
Well,
there's a lot of un yeah, he's rounded up thousands of people, from what I understand, in Istanbul and Ankara and Izmir and a bunch of other cities around the country, and are throwing them. The jails are now once again chock full of anti-Islamist elements. Or I don't, again, I don't really,
I don't know that they're
yeah,
anti-Islamist. I think they're anti-Erdogan.
Erdogan, right.
The Turks. Oof. I'm not going to say much because I don't know much about Turkey other than what Erdogan has done. I don't know what the Turkish people truly believe, but there is absolutely a strong undercurrent of militant Islam within Turkey. Whether that is part and parcel of the Erdogan movement or it is an organic creation,
I
I
believe it
simply
is.
don't know.
It's a little bit, from what I understand of it, and I'm no expert, having been to Turkey a couple of times, but it is a little bit of both, because obviously, you had the Turkey was a semi amazingly fairly robust secular society for many, many years. And it was at one point an ally of the state of Israel, or at least friendly
Oh,
with the state of
absolutely.
Israel.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, for them to do that means that the Islamist elements had to have been quashed or controlled, for very effectively and suppressed. And until Erdogan came along, I think his party is called the AKP, which was anti, who was the reformer of Turkey?
Kemal Atatürk.
Ataturk, right. It was anti-Ataturk. Ataturk wanted to orient Turkey towards the West and, relatively speaking, away, or if not away completely from Islam, then certainly from the more insane elements of Islam. So, and he is a total throwback, and he doesn't want that. And a lot of people, I think, in Turkey do recognize that, but of course they can't speak out because they do get chucked into jail or they get murdered, like the Iranians do, both there and abroad. There's also a lot of unrest still in Iran against the mullahs.
Oh, I think Iran is probably the first to go. I don't think Turkey's going to go anywhere.
Right.
Atatürk created a wonderful model to control Islam. He made the military very, very powerful, and he made sure that it was staffed entirely by secularists. But Erdogan managed to break that. And that's why he has remained in power for so long. He listen,
That's why
he's
you're.
not a dumb guy. Erdogan really does know what he is doing, so we need to be very careful with him.
Without a doubt. And the fact that they're in NATO, but that's a whole other story.
Yeah,
And playing off of your, related your piece on there's also these so-called protests that are going on in Gaza. But as Daniel Greenfield pointed out, it's a crock. I mean, it's all clans and people fighting for power and so on and so forth, and influence and money. But the hatred of Jews and the hatred of Israel will always remain. So you can change the deck chairs on the Titanic, but that is what it is. So.
Yeah, speaking of Israel, what do you think about these anti-Hamas protests in Gaza? I'm very suspicious of it. I mean, first of all, I don't give a shit because Gazans were enthusiastic participants
Yes.
in the October 7th pogroms,
Right. As I
and the vast
linked
majority of
in.
Gaza supports it. So I don't care about the
Right.
people of Gaza, but it is interesting.
Well, again, it's I think it's a lot of it is more of a political move vis-a-vis the internal power struggles between the powers that be, as opposed to the ideological precepts of being anti-Jewish, being Islamist, and wanting to destroy the state of Israel.
Wait. So, are you saying
Daniel
that
Greenfield had a
Gaza
great
is
essay
not?
about
Nope. Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead,
it.
Daniel
I
Greenfield.
think, yeah, he had a phenomenal essay at Front Page Mag, which I think I linked to either today or yesterday, which is worthy of a look. And he explains the sort of the power dynamics going on within there very, very, quite thoroughly, and it's quite a good read. So, but of course, yes, the Islamic thing is first and foremost.
Well, I was going to say that are you telling me that Gaza is not going to be become a benign Jeffersonian democracy in the next 6 months? I'm a little
No,
surprised by that.
and you will not be having Mai Tais on the deck of the cruise liner Witkoff sailing from wherever to whatever
Yeah.
the next resort on the Mediterranean, the Club Med. No, it ain't going to be that, my friends.
Yeah. So,
I guarantee it.
it was interesting that the comparison by the left between Israel and Nazi Germany is disgusting on every single level. But it's also it's an interesting little game to play. If you look at how Gaza treated the hostages compared to the various or compared to Nazi Germany, for instance, where there were thousands of Germans, of good Germans, who were actively protecting Jews. Were there enough? No. Do I forgive the German people? No. But there were absolutely many, many Germans who not only did not support the Nazi policy of the destruction of the Jewish people, but actively acted against it. And you can look at every single country in Europe that deported their Jews. There were small or large active organizations that protected Jews. Even Poland, which was just horrendous. There was significant support for the murder of Jews in Poland. There was a
Well, that's why there were
not
six death
large, but
camps
it
built there.
existed. There were Poles who died to protect Jews. And yet in Gaza, every interview I have read with hostages, they say no. Nobody cared. Not one person did anything. And
Which
that's a
and to,
damning
yeah, it's very
indictment
damning.
of Islam, of Middle Eastern Arabs, of Gazan Arabs. So.
Yep, and in many cases, many of these Gazan quote unquote civilians had in their employ as babysitters, as nannies, as nurses, as whatever, Jewish residents that were just outside in the kibbutzim outside of Gaza, and they knew them intimately. It's not as if they were just sort of people down the road that, like Obama's neighbor who he didn't know, Bill Ayers. No, seriously, it was people that they knew, and they knew intimately, and they sold them down the river, and worse, and pointed them out and took them as hostage and helped in the torturing and the killing of them. So yes, it's also, as I said, this is no coincidence why there were six death camps built in Poland.
Yeah.
And it's also why I have no sympathy in a way, and I hate to say it, for the Ukrainian people, because they actively participated over hundreds of years, not only in pogroms against Jews, but also in many of my relatives are victims of Einsatzgruppen D that wiped out the Jews of Ukraine in the southern part in Odessa and where my father's family came from. So
Yeah,
I hate
mine
to say
were
it.
Einsatzgruppe B. Yeah, they're a bunch of charmers in Ukraine. One of the biggest pogroms in the 20th century occurred in Ukraine in I think 1921, and I apologize, but I've forgotten the name of it. But that's Eastern
It's
Europe. That's just the way it is.
Eastern Europe, but again, it's and it's funny. Back to you're talking about equating Israel and Jews to Nazis. It's like, well, wait a second. You're equating them to Nazis, but at the same token, it's who were the victims of the Nazis? They were the Jews. Hello, you talk about cognitive dissonance, and it's like it's just mind-bogglingly. You just want to like bang your head against the wall or bang somebody's head against the wall. Better not say who.
Well,
Anyway, what else
it's
do you got?
interesting. I this is not my idea, folks. I read it on the internet, so it must be true. But somebody made the interesting point that the Arabs in the Middle East are making the point of Zionism for Israel. If you look at every single country in the Middle East and in the Arab world, almost, they have expelled their Jews. There are no Jews in, well, so few that they can't even be counted, in Algeria and Morocco and Egypt and Libya and throughout the Middle East, and they threw them out, or they drove them out. And if Zionism were evil, that would mean that Jews could live anywhere. By throwing out the Jews, they have proven the value and the importance of Zionism. So
Absolutely.
it becomes a head scratcher at some point, because they just have to look at their own history and realize why Zionism is in existence.
Well, I
But
mean,
that
again,
doesn't mean
they use
anything,
this
because
word.
they, yeah.
Yeah, they don't care. They'll do pretzel, contort themselves into pretzels of illogic to suit their goal of whatever their stated premises, which is try to prove their point. And they talk about this word, the Nakba, the catastrophe in 1948 when is the State of Israel was created. At the same time, that's when in 1948 all of those Arab states drove out and had pogroms or otherwise drove out all of its Jewish citizens who had been living in those countries literally for several hundred years, if not hundreds of years before the creation of the modern state of Israel. And so,
Well, in the case of Iraq, thousands of years.
thousands of years, exactly, goes back to
Yeah.
Babylon. There you go.
Yeah.
But so there it is. There, the Arab world created Zionism. Thank you.
Yeah, they did. Anyway, so let's talk about a happy thing, and that is that the economy of the United States is doing rather well.
Doing
Is
very
it
well.
has it recovered from the depredations of the Obama Biden junta? No, obviously not. But I think that there are enough indicators of surprising strength that we can be cautiously optimistic about the fact that there probably isn't going to be a recession. I don't think there is going to be one. But the fact that oil has moderated somewhat, industrial capacity is increasing, I'm sorry, industrial output is increasing. There's some interesting things going on in our economy, and I think it's a very, very good thing.
Indeed, and these are all not necessarily short-term things. These are indicator, investments and these kind of things, as I said. Opening up a steel mill and an automobile plant is not something that you do, it's not a pop-up shop, my friends, for all you hipsters out there. These are long-term things, my friends. And Trump is, and Lee Zeldin, God bless him, going full tilt boogie ahead with drilling and mining for every last drop of oil, every last cubic centimeter of natural gas, and every little grain of coal they can possibly find. And more power to them. More power to them. Keep going.
Scott Bessent, who's the Secretary of the Treasury, under Donald Trump's administration, I think is a very bright man. And I think that he's going to have a salutary effect on the financial markets and on our economy. He understands that the restrictions on our financial markets are significant. And just easing the regulatory environment is going to do a tremendous amount for our economy. Making money flow more easily through the economy is a very, very important thing. And I think he's a bright guy. I think he's a dedicated guy, and I think he's going to get it done. And that's a very, very good thing. And then
Absolutely.
you can expand that to pretty much everybody in Donald Trump's cabinet. They're serious people. Some of them, I think, are in over their heads. And we can talk about that in a bit. But I think for the most part, we are very, very lucky. I don't see a single blatant political appointee in his cabinet. And I might be wrong. Sefton, what do you think? Am I painting it too rosy a picture?
I don't think so. I think a lot of the whole Doge, effort of just cutting the waste and that whole thing will be fantastic. Also, there was an article I had about a company that was sued, I believe, under Obama. I forgot what for some stupid free speech violation or some madness of that. We could talk about, we were talking about the human rights commissions, but getting rid of those kind of things and the whole diversity, equity, inclusion nonsense, getting rid of all of that, it reduces the costs of production and the costs of bringing goods to market and makes things freer and more accessible across the board and makes the formation of new businesses and the functioning of existing businesses that much easier. And it makes the economy and the cost of goods and services cheaper, and it puts and keeps more money in the average American's pocket. And I say hallelujah across the board. The one thing that's going on is there's this call for RFK Jr. to ban pharmaceutical
Oh my
advertising.
God. Yeah.
So,
Ace over at Ace of Spades wrote about that. And I think it's just fantastic. Go ahead. Sorry.
yes, no, I would agree. I mean, it's first of all, it's like who wants to like. It's like what I mean. It's just essentially all it is he's right. Ace, just to paraphrase Ace, our boss there said, "What it is you're allowing. It's almost like allowing drug dealers to sell their wares, directly, to the directly to the drug abuser." And it's in a way, it's true. I mean, it's just who needs it?
Well, his larger point
And
was
it's
that the
graft.
that it's yeah that it's a pure power play that the that Big Pharma is paying the media to protect it, and they're paying them
Exactly.
with sometimes 60 or 70% of their ad revenue coming from pharma, and that and in one fell swoop, RFK Jr. will change the landscape of our media, and I think that's a wonderful thing. Now, from a from a constitutional perspective, I think it's a bad idea. They have every right to advertise anywhere they fucking well please. I think that cigarette manufacturers should be able to advertise. That I think these controls over what we see and hear on TV are offensive. But if you want to play the game, let's play the game to win. And if he can destroy the financial pipeline between Big Pharma and our media, go for it. I'll be a happy camper.
I would agree with that. Yes. I mean, yes, it is a dangerous precedent in that, yeah, I mean, certain things you should be allowed to average. I mean, it's like, you know, it's you're not doing anything necessarily dangerous or whatever or misleading unless, you know, we have obviously rules and regulations about, you know, Carter's little liver pills and snake oil and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, it's true. It's kind of a double-edged sword, but I agree that the big pharma is way too powerful, and as we have seen with the COVID vaccines and all that nonsense, yes, let them be cut down to size. Absolutely.
Sorry about that. I had to cough.
That's quite
So
all
let's
right.
move on to a really, really fun subject, and that is the deportations that are occurring or are beginning to occur in the United States. Obviously, the flights to El Salvadorian prison resorts are in the courts right now, but it looks like ICE is picking up the worst of the campus agitators, who are in many cases no longer students, have violated the terms of their visas, and should be thrown out immediately. But that's happening. Whether the courts will prevail or sanity will prevail is a question, I think, for the Supreme Court. And I don't know how that is going to play out, but the administration is not playing around with this. They're arresting people, they're incarcerating people, and they're trying to throw them out of the country. I think it's a very, very important thing. And again, we talked about the constitutional issues, and there is one obvious one, and that is free speech. But I think that free speech is a ploy on the part of the left to confuse the issue. The issue is not free speech for many of these people. The issue is supporting terrorism. And that's not legal. You can't support terrorism in the United States. And if you're a visitor to the United States and not a citizen, you really can't. And I see nothing wrong with busting down dorm rooms, putting these people in shackles, throwing them onto a plane, and deporting them to wherever the fuck they came from. There's that one physician, I think one of the Ivies, I don't remember which one. She came back to the United States after going to Nasrallah's funeral, and they turned her around and sent her back, which I think is perfectly appropriate. I'm sorry, you go to the head of Nasrallah of Hezbollah's funeral, and then come to the United States. Where are you? Go back to where you came from.
I mean, you know, and plus this Khalil character, he has links,
Oh,
direct
yeah.
links to terrorism,
Oh,
to
yeah.
terrorist sponsors, to terrorist propagandists. That is a violation right there. You go and goodbye. Do not pass go. Do not collect your exploding pager, or actually, yes, do collect your exploding pager and get the hell out of my country.
Yeah, speaking of that, one of the guys who did not get a pager last year did get a missile, I think last night. One of the high mucky-mucks of Hezbollah just picked up his chit for 72 virgins. So
Yeah.
I forgot his
Good. May
name.
they all
And yeah, something, I don't give a shit.
resemble Helen Thomas, please. There you go, Vault.
Yeah. So what's next on the agenda? Oh, I know you want to talk about our lovely
Well,
Texas representative, Ms.
oh
Crockett,
God.
or Mrs.
Dear
Crockett.
God,
I don't know if she married.
she's just horrible. She's horrendous. I mean, she's basically, you know, spouting the most horrendous, not only insults, but just, and she's literally fomenting terrorism against Tesla dealerships, against Trump supporters, against everyone in the world who is not leftist and Democrat. She's horrible. But you know something? As horrendous as she and her fake eyelashes are, let her and Bernie Sanders and Titicaca Ocasio-Cortez and all the
No,
other
Crockett,
flaming
no,
groupies
it'd be
and
Cortez Crockett,
transsexuals.
2028.
There
Cortez
it is. There's
Crockett.
your winning ticket. Just
Yep.
bring him out, put him in front of the cameras. Yes, there it is, James Carville. There it is. I think that will surely sell middle America on how wonderful the Democrat Party is. Just keep pushing transgenderism, criminality, anti-Semitism, tyranny, censorship, And whatever else you got, my friends, that's the winning ticket.
Yeah, she made
And
a seemingly nasty comment about the governor of Texas, who, as many of you know, is in a wheelchair, has been in one since he was in his mid-20s. He was apparently running. He was exercising one day, and a tree fell on him, which is really an awful, awful thing.
Oh my
But he
God.
seems to have risen to the occasion. Sorry about that. And you know, listen, being the
God love
governor
you,
of
Chuck.
Texas,
Stand up, Chuck. Everybody stand up for Chuck, as Joe Biden would
you know,
say.
being the governor of Texas is not bupkis. He's done well for himself, and I'm not thrilled by his politics, but he is certainly he's a good man, and doesn't deserve the vitriol from this rancid bitch, who, by the way, grew up in privilege. Apparently, she went to a very, very expensive and fancy private school, and her ghetto accent is absolutely fake. She puts it on for the audience. It has nothing to do with her upbringing. Anyway.
Slight pet peeve, if I may. I would really refrain from using the word ghetto in relation to places of where Democrat blacks live, because ghetto is a place where Jews through the centuries were forced to live in Europe and abused, and it just it's to equate them with the bastard children of Lyndon Baines Johnson and the Great Society to me is offensive in the extreme. But yes, she puts on the fake accent of oppression and this and that and so on and so forth. And she is a rancid human being. She is an
Yeah.
absolute human vermin. Everything she represents, yes.
Okay, so she affects the accent of the vibrant inner city of our Democrat controlled
Right. Well, it's what Biden used
yeah.
to say about Obama. When he wants to, he can talk authentically black when he needs
Yeah.
to. Amazing.
So I noticed in the
She ain't
news, go ahead.
hard. She ain't no ways hard, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I noticed in the news the United States Commission on Civil wait, okay. Yeah, the United States Commission on Civil Rights. It was established by Eisenhower, I think. They're supposed to oversee investigations and reporting on civil rights issues. I don't think it has any power, regulatory power. In fact, I'm sure it doesn't. But it's apparently a relatively significant portion of the federal government. And the president of the, what is it, the chairman? I don't know. Let's see. I've got an article up. Anyway, the chairman of the of this council was bounced by Donald Trump and replaced by one of his picks. I mean, it's obviously a political position, and she has refused to leave. Yeah, which I think is just wonderful. She just said, "No, I'm sorry, I don't recognize your authority over me." And I find that rather amusing. Her name is Rochelle Garza, and she is absolutely a hardcore leftist. I've read just a little bit about her, and she is not yielding her chairmanship. And
Funny, I
I
have
mean,
this
how that
image.
works, I have absolutely no idea. How does that
Well,
work?
I have this image of Governor Orville Faubus. Or whatever, being carried out by the state troopers and then put in shackles and thrown on the sidewalk. That's how that works for me. Either that or tear gas, pepper spray, rubber bullets, fire hoses, and German shepherds. Get her the hell out of there and remove her
Yeah,
and
I don't understand why you can't
disinfect
send the
the
Capitol
office.
Police in to put her in cuffs and drag her out. To, you know, turn off her access, drag her out, maybe arrest her for trespassing. Actually, no, you can't arrest her for trespassing, can you? It's a public building. We own it. She owns it. She's an American citizen, I assume.
Well,
Who knows?
who
Anyway, I
knows?
thought that was funny. It's not important. She's obviously going to lose her power, and she's going to huff and puff and go on CNBC or go on MSNBC and be a commentator for 2 months until they go out of business. But
Yes, they should only go out of business quickly. My God.
yeah,
Surprised they haven't already.
amazing stuff. Anyway, what else you got?
That's pretty much it. I think, despite all the depredations and everything, the Israelis are on the move again in Gaza. Hopefully, they can finish off Hamas. Iran is as we talked about. I mean, they're both simultaneously, again, still on the ropes, theoretically, the mullahs, and or on the verge of breaking out into with a nuclear weapon. We're not quite sure which or both. Take your pick. So hopefully Donald Trump can do and the foreign policy team can do their magic and because I think Trump also had some, I know he put some sanctions on Venezuelan oil. I also think he sanctioned Iranian oil, if I'm not
Yeah, I saw the
mistaken.
sanctions on Venezuelan oil, yeah. But I have not seen
So
anything on Iranian oil. But I think that they're, yeah, he did something. I don't recall. So, well.
anyway, that seems to be it for this week, my friends. And unless you've got something else, CBD, I think that about wraps it up for this episode.
I think it does. Folks, thanks for sticking around, listening to us blabble, blather, blabble, bab. I don't know. What the hell's the word?
Blather and babble. It's a
Yeah,
mashup. I
blather and
like it.
babble. What the hell is that when you join two words and make a nonsensical word? What is that called?
I don't know. It's called a smash up, a
It's
mash up.
called CBD making a fool of himself. Yeah, that'll work. Anyway,
Nah.
yeah.
Works for me.
So, folks, thank you very much for listening. Thank you for hitting the tip jar. Thank you for commenting over at cutchipnewsletter.com and at Ace of Spades, where both Sefton and I are co-bloggers. And we will see you next week. Sefton, take it away.
Yes, CBD, you love Paris in the springtime. I hope it loves you back, or something like to words to that effect.
Oh, God, I gotta say, I'm looking out the window and it is gorgeous, about 62 or 63 degree day. I just walked
Beautiful.
down this wonderful little street and did some food shopping for dinner tonight. Some cute French or cute Parisian women wandering around. It's a nice place for a little while.
Very good. Well, enjoy yourself. Be safe, my friend. And to all our listeners, God bless you all for your continued support and hitting the tip jar and commenting. And we will see you again on the next one right here at the Cut Jib Newsletter Speaks International Radio Podcasting News Network around the world, across the nation, and up your street. God bless you, Alice. Until next time,
Thanks for listening,
adios.
folks.